This is our last week of our series, Avenues to Authentic Hope. Last week, we looked at how forgiveness is not about forgetting, but about letting go of wrongs that others have done to us, or perhaps that wrongdoings we have committed. Forgiveness is the first step towards reconciliation. Today, we consider a story that Jesus tells as a way to reorient our lives towards redemption. We read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, starting at verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Bring a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring out the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field when he came near the house. He heard music and dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I may celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Let us pray. Holy God, open our ears to hear your word. Open our minds so that we can understand. And open up our hearts to receive your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When was the last time that you felt someone wronged you? How did it make you feel? Many years ago, a new breakfast restaurant opened up in the town Christine and I were living in, and I decided to go to the soft open on a weekday. And I was surprised that I found the restaurant to be warm, spacious, and I didn't have to wait a long time for my good, amazing meal, and it was an inviting place, and the staff were very kind to me, and the breakfast just tasted wonderful. I was so enamored with my experience at the restaurant that I decided to take my family to the grand opening on Saturday. And when we went there, the place was just a madhouse. And I somehow managed to get the seats for the four of us to get in. And I put an order in and I paid. And it was so crowded in this tiny breakfast restaurant. And as people continued to fill in, our food had not come out. And after about 15 minutes, I inquired about our order. And they said, "Oh, sir, you know, it'll be out shortly. Don't worry." And about 15 minutes later, I asked about our order. And they said, "Sir, sorry, we're just really busy. It'll be out soon." And then 45, 60, 75 minutes went by. And at every interval of time, I checked with the person at the counter asking how much longer it would be. And the answer was the same. "Sir, we're very busy. Your order will come out shortly." Well, I was just upset. Where was the hospitality and the helpful staff that I had experienced this wonderful meal with before? You know, how long does it really take to cook eggs? And in this moment of frustration, I find that being hungry just compounded the situation. I was hungry and angry. I was angry. After over an hour and a half of this, I went to the manager trying to just contain my frustration and anger and thinking about how, have you ever tried to keep a 3- and 5-year-old children who are hungry, occupied, and happy, let alone a grown man? Well, as it turns out, our order slip got lost in all the busyness of the grand opening. And when I found this out, I was upset because I kept asking the person to check and I was met with just a lack of care and attention. And I was really ready to let the manager know what I really thought about the new restaurant. But my wife, Christine, being gracious, saw what was happening, saw the look on my face and said, "You take the kids and go and I'll sort all this out. We'll go to McDonald's later." But I just felt ignored, and I left upset, and I thought to myself, I am just never coming back to this place. It is a feeling of being ignored where we find the older brother in this parable, normally called the story of the prodigal son. Where was the older brother's party? Where was his ring, his slippers? Why is so much forgiveness and attention be upon his younger brother? Why should the older brother be ignored? In some ways, you can't blame the older brother. He was not the one who asked for his inheritance early. He didn't leave his home and country. He didn't spend all of his share of his father's estate, his money. He was not the one who shamed himself. He had done everything that the father had asked, and he stayed home. The older brother was probably a straight-A student. When Jesus told the story, it would have been shocking on two accounts. First, a father who gave up his property before he died to the younger son and older brother. Who does that? The father wasn't dead. Why would he give everything away, inheritance early? Imagine if you went to your parents, if they were alive or still living, and you asked them for their house, their car, their bank accounts. Such a request would be offensive. Second, it is an unbelievable fact that this good-for-nothing younger son was welcomed back. In the time of Jesus, such actions of leaving and spending the family's resources and reducing oneself to live among pigs, unclean animals, was just unimaginable. Who would want that type of son back in their family? However, as we know in the story, the father is just elated to have his son home and safe. The older brother, he's not pleased. And he lets the father know what he thinks about this son of yours. See, the older brother can't even see his younger as a brother. How could the father reconcile and redeem such wrongdoing? In many ways, there's a younger brother side of us, the one who sometimes is rebellious against God or others. willing to commit wrongs, maybe hurt others. And there's an older brother side of us who is always wanting to do what is right and what is expected of us. There's a bit of both in all of us. But this older brother is carrying feelings of betrayal, hurt, anger, and frustration. I wonder if he too was hungry when he felt ignored, compounding his emotion. In his book, The Preaching Event, John Claypool tells a true story about identical twin brothers who, when their father died, they took over his store and ran it together in happy collaboration. But one day, a man came in to make a small purchase and paid for it with a dollar. And the brother who made the sale placed the dollar on top of the cash register and walked the customer to the door to say goodbye. But when he returned, the dollar was gone. And he said to his twin brother, "Did you take the dollar bill that I left here?" "No, I didn't," answered the other brother. "Surely you took it," he said. "There was nobody else in the store." But the other brother became angry. "I'm telling you," he said, "I did not take that dollar bill." Well, from that point on, mistrust and suspicion grew until finally the two brothers couldn't work together. They put a partition right down the middle of the building and made it into two stores, one the product side of the business and the other the repair side of the business. And in anger, they refused to speak to each other for the next 20 years. Well, one day a stranger pulled up in a car and entered one of the two stores. And he asked, "Have you been in business very long here?" the stranger said. "Yes, 30 or 40 years," answered one of the brother. "Good," continued the stranger. "I very much need to tell you something. Some 20 years ago, I passed through this town and I was out of work and homeless. And I had no money and I had not eaten for days. And I came down that alley outside when I looked in your store window and I saw a dollar bill on the cash register. And I slipped in and I took it. And I now know it was wrong of me to steal, but I've come back to pay you with interest and to beg your forgiveness." When the stranger finished his confession, the old storekeeper began to weep as he said, "Would you do me a favor? Would you please come next door to tell that story to my brother?" Of course, with the second telling of the story, the two brothers were reconciled with many hugs and apologies and tears. Can you imagine the years spent hating, loathing, and living in such a spirit of anger those brothers lived in? Years spent in mistrust and suspicion. All those years wasted because each brother wanted to settle the score with their anger and not settle the dust with love. How different would this story be in the brothers if they had put their relationship first and being right or wrong second? The reality is, in our relationships, whether family, our friends, or neighbors, we are constantly presented with a triad of relational operation: affirming, denying, reconciling. Some call this the law of three: affirming, denying, reconciling. We are either affirming, giving trust and attention to someone for the stability of a relationship. We are either denying, rejecting, or choosing to distance from someone. Or we are reconciling, a state of making amends to redeem a relationship. In the story of the prodigal son, we see the younger son affirming his need for the father's love in the relationship, the older son denying his younger brother and relationship with him, and the father reconciling his relationship with the younger son and attempting it with the older son. At the end of the story, the father pleads with the older brother to reconcile, but he refuses to take part in the celebration. Affirming, denying, reconciling. We have seen in our country right now how this triad works. Millions across the country are giving voice to racial injustice and how men and women of color have been treated and left behind. How are we living into affirming, denying, or reconciling with our nation? We all must look within the soul of our country and ourselves to see how racism and hate deny our fellow human brothers and sisters. We must strive towards affirming and reconciling as a nation. Affirming, denying, reconciling. If we ever want to have a sense of hope, we must choose affirming the relationships we have and choose reconciling the relationships that are broken. Every now and again, I think back to my grand opening experience at that new restaurant in town and being so utterly forgotten. Even though on the scale of wrong, it remains of low importance. But at the time, it felt really important to me. Often that's how we view wrongdoing, whether it's a personal annoyance or a great tragic sin. We often just want to express how wronged we were. And we want to stay there, denying the need to forgive or reconcile with someone. And we can get used to that feeling, the feeling of that need to hold on to our pain. Luckily, or rather, I'm blessed with a wife who saw the storm brewing within me. The final part of my story about going to the grand opening and being forgotten is that after I left and took the kids to the car, I sat in the car, hungry, angry, angry. And I waited a long time for Christine to come back, and I thought to myself, what on earth is taking so long to straighten this whole ordeal out? I just want to get out of here. Well, Christine came back, and she said, the owner was very sorry that everything that had just happened. And she gave us a gift card for more than we spent, and she refunded all of our money. She asked us to come back and give her restaurant a second chance. Wow, I thought. If this woman, the owner, is willing to reconcile with us, shouldn't I try to meet her halfway to reconcile with her? A week later, I went back to the restaurant and I asked to speak with the owner, and she was there and we talked and she apologized again. But then she told me about how she was a single mother and had left her job to open this business. She had never owned a business before, but she wanted to remake her life. I began to see how this whole situation, from a point of humanness, instead of treating it transactionally. I also tried eating there again. And over the next few months, I formed a friendship with the owner and the staff who messed up my Saturday morning plans. And then something interesting began to happen. Mothers and families from our church preschool started meeting at this restaurant, and we began to form a connection with the owner and her business. And she started to offer a donation to our preschool when families bought breakfast or lunch there. And the owner started taking an interest in our food pantry and some of the outreach that we were doing in the community. And she hosted fundraisers and formed friendships with members of our congregation. If I never sought to reconcile with this woman, this wonderful connection of church and community would have never happened. That is the power of reorienting in redemption. We can have hope, real hope, when times become dark or difficult, when we choose forgiveness and reconciling over anger and pain. God frees us into new and wonderful opportunities. When we seek to reconcile with others, we lay down our anger and instead accept people for who they are. Like the father who had two sons, when we choose affirming and redeeming, we put away rejection to allow God to heal and form a new and wonderful possibility. This is the truth of Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So today I ask you, will you continue to choose in denying others in your pain? Or will you accept affirming and redeeming of relationships so that you may be healed? Will you choose to be like the father or the older son? Today, will you see the God that created humanness in one another so that your relationships and life can be redeemed? Today, will you choose anger or redemption? Let us pray. God, we know that many of us have our own hurts, wrongs, things that we've experienced. God, we pray that on this day, that this may be a day of forgiveness, reconciliation, and redemption. God, when we are hurt or offended, God, it's so easy for us to stay in that place of anger and pain. God, whether something has happened to us yesterday or last week or last year or 10 years ago or 30 years ago, God, help us release the pain of wrong so that we may be freed into redeeming and seeing how you can work relationships anew so that we may have hope. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.